There's a hunger in my heart, a hunger in my soul for you. So this is the West Coast Project podcast for The Affair, and tonight we're doing episode 5. My name is Mike.
And I'm Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Mike.
So why did you like episode 5? You told me before I saw it that you liked it, or that I would, that I would, you can't wait for me to see episode 5. What did you like it?
What about I think I was just saying, don't give up on it. It's not as much the kind of silly go back and forth thing that it was in both 3 and 4, I thought. It was like on again, off again, on again, off again. And it seemed like the story kind of darkened up a little bit in this one. It seemed like there was a better story to it.
Yeah. Their relationship is the least interesting part of this show. And that was what 4 was all about, their relationship back and forth. I want you, I don't want you, I want to... I'm guilty, I'm not guilty, whatever. That was all bullshit.
Yeah, but you know what? I went back and watched it again, and that is only Noah's version of it. Allison's version of it's not really like that at all. The only time she got upset in her version was when he noticed that she had cut herself. And it wasn't as on again, off again with her side as it was with his. And after watching it again, after we podcast it, I really liked who he was, that she portrayed him as, like when she told him about her son, and yeah, he actually pulled the car over and he asked all these really meaningful questions and stuff. I don't know, there was a whole lot to him. He's a deeper character according to her, but according to him, he's just like, he's a doofus.
Well, this one was better, 5 was better, because it got more into the criminal, like, mystery stuff, which makes it more interesting.
Yeah, and I think we're just now really getting on the edge of that anyway. So
number 5 starts out with Allison. We made a comment about that. She never gets to go first, but she goes first this time. And she wakes up with Cole and says she's had a poor night of sleep. But this poor sleep comment was just kind of an excuse. She's waiting for him to leave. And she's not going to interact with him. She's going to sleep a little bit longer. But Cole catches her. He comes back, and she's all dressed up. And he knows what she's up to, right?
I don't know what he knows. I mean, he knows she lied to him. And, I mean, she doesn't defend herself. She doesn't say anything about it. He just comes back in, says he's forgotten the wax. He was going surfing. And stands there and looks at her because, of course, as soon as he walked out the door, she jumped up and threw on a cute little dress and everything. But he doesn't say anything. I thought that was a pretty... I don't know. What did you think about that scene?
Well, him saying that he likes her dress says everything. He didn't accuse her. He said, I like your dress, meaning I like whatever you're getting dressed up for. I like it, too. It's code for him saying, I know you're doing something special that you don't want me to know about, and... He may be very well guessing that it's going to, you know, see somebody.
I thought that was, yeah, but wouldn't you think that if he thought that he might follow her or something? I mean, if you really thought that your wife was sneaking out to meet somebody, would you maybe want to, I don't know. No?
I think it was a pretty effective way to, like, to jab the knife in, like, hey, you look really pretty, or I really like that dress, instead of, where the hell do you think you're going? You know, it just was really effective.
It was very effective. It was some of the best acting. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and she looked so guilty. She just stood there. I mean, she didn't even try to say anything. Oh, I decided to go ahead and get up. I forgot. I've got to go do this. She could have tried to cover it, and she didn't. She just didn't. I thought that was some of the best acting he's done. His silence in that whole scene just screamed at me.
So she rides her bike over to Phoebe's house. Phoebe's a folk musician and has his house out, in the country. And it's to meet Noah for sex. That's right, Michelle. She's going to meet him for sex.
What do you know?
So they talk, and she had dreams about being a doctor. She tells him a little bit about her past, but her grades weren't good enough for her scholarship, so she couldn't afford it. She didn't do it. And Noah makes a comment, like, you think I grew up rich, don't you? And she says, yes. But he reveals that his father was a truck driver and his mom was just a waitress, and he went to school on a swimming scholarship. And then they get interrupted because of a call to Allie, which is different from how they get interrupted in Noah's version. But she gets a call about her grandma, and apparently her mother has stormed into town and is trying to change grandma's medication.
Yeah, and also, did you notice when she answered the phone, she said, "This is Allison Bailey"?
No, I didn't notice that.
So, is she married? Her and Cole are actually married, right? They're not just, like, cohabitating, or are they? Or has she not changed her name?
Well, this Bailey thing has crept in and out a couple times where it didn't seem like it belonged, so I don't know the answer to that.
Well, yeah, because she's pointed out that she's married. She said she's married twice in two different ways, based on who you believe, Noah or her. Once was on the beach where she said she was married to the Lockharts, and the other was, I can't remember, but she let it slip some different way. But so she's actually used the word married, but she does use her maiden name when she answers
the detective uses her maiden name, too.
Right. But, I mean, she's using it even back then. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, maybe she's still married to Cole in the future. I don't know.
Well, then why would she be named Bailey?
Well, she was Bailey then. That's the point. She's married to him here, but she's using the name Bailey. She said she was married, but she's using the name Bailey when she answered the call from her grandmother's nursing home.
I don't know. Maybe she's never been married to him because the mother-in-law gives her the ring, like, hey, maybe you should get married.
Well, that's what I thought, too. But then the mom, we'll get to that. Let's wait till we get there.
So Allison does drive over to the it's a hospital, right? Is it a hospital or old folks' home?
It's a nursing home, I think.
She goes over there to see her grandma, and everyone knows her there.
Yeah.
She's really friendly. Everyone likes her. She's like the queen of that town. Everyone likes her. But she meets her mama, Athena Bailey, and Athena's there, and she's a firecracker. She had a feeling, so she came storming back into town.
What did you think about Athena?
She's a carnival show.
You thought she was a fruitcake, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's there, what, half an hour, and she's ripping into everybody already. Like, you only come visit once a week to grandma, and she's not even there at all, and she's criticizing Allison's, you know, schedule for visits to grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma hugs Allison but doesn't even know Athena, doesn't even know who she is.
Right. And this is where Allison points out that she is a nurse. So we do find that out. Remember, we weren't sure when she went to the hospital.
Was.
Right. Right. But then she did go to nursing school. We do know that because she points that out.
Yeah. So this actress, Athena, was in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and What Happens in Vegas and You Don't Know Jack. She's in some other stuff.
I knew. Does she play the same character?
I don't know. I mean, I don't like her character in this, but she plays it well. She comes off well as a...
Oh, I don't think we're supposed to like it. But I like her a little bit. Don't you like her a little?
Not a bit.
I like some of the stuff she says.
So Athena used to be Shelley, and she changed her name. And Shelley used to be a nurse, too, right? So
No, she didn't. That's what the grandmother remembered.
Because of Allison's school.
And that's right. That's when Allison said, "No, Grandma, that was me."
But Shelley/Athena is a Reiki healer now, doing energy work all over the place.
Yep.
She's drooling and dripping this energy work everywhere.
Yeah, well, she's the senior teacher at the Omega Institute for Holistic Studies and Spiritual Development.
Hey, Grandma says, "Don't you make fun of me." And that was awesome.
But then they ask her about Sal, her boyfriend, Athena's boyfriend. And she says that she and Sal have, how'd she put it, come to the end of their story or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great way to put that. Anyway.
Sal and I are no longer traveling together. So, yeah, you're right. Allie reminds Grandma that it was she that went to nursing school. And Grandma wants to hear something about Athena. Anyway, so what up? She was a little carnival show, though. Just all this we're not traveling together anymore. We've come to the end of our story.
I love that.
Give me a break, lady.
I love that, though. It's a great way to put things. I just love a lot of the lines she had in it. I thought she was so colorful.
So Grandma is afraid of the medication she's getting, and Ellie reassures her. And then she, you know, she does rip out the fact she's a nurse. She knows all the reason behind each medication and explains it all to Athena in the hallway. But Athena, of course, wants all the alternative therapies and take over the health decisions. Like who's going to let that happen?
Well, right. Like, she's going to come back in town because Allison had pointed out earlier that she hasn't even been in town in years. That was her statement earlier. And so now she's going to come in town and within no time want to change, you know, this woman's medication when she seems to be doing reasonable. I mean, I don't know anything about it, but she seems to be doing okay on it.
So why did she come to town? What is this lady doing in the story?
Well, it's because she felt like she was needed. I don't know. I think it's just to throw in. Allison has one thing after another, it seems like, piled on her, like, to deal with and stuff. And I think it's just another thing to deal with. Did you get something different than that?
I don't know why. I mean, I can't see why. She's just like a colorful clown in the story so far.
Well, yeah, but she, I don't know. There also may be some exposure to whatever's going on in the Lockhart clan as well. I'm not sure yet, but she made some kind of comment a little bit later on that kind of struck me with that.
Well, for such an alternative health practitioner, she still wants to go out for dinner and drinks. That was a little telling, I think. She's like a party chick. She's an old, faded party chick.
That is not nice.
But it was pretty dumb of Allison to tell her that she's staying at Phoebe's house. Now she knows where she is. Now she can go find her, which, you know, we'll see what happens, but...
But she had to. She had to because the mom wanted to meet her. She wanted to have dinner with her. And she said, I can't. I'm having dinner at Cherry's at the in-laws. And the mom said, well, then let's just have drinks when you get off work. And she said, I can't. I have to check on Phoebe's house. She was just spur
of the moment. Just say no. I can't have drinks with you. No, I'm out of here. She didn't have to tell her where she was.
That's what, I don't know. I think women do that a lot. I think we frequently explain why. If we say no, we feel like we need to explain why. Many
of us frequently stupid. It's stupid to tell that.
Well, maybe.
It's the too nice syndrome, Michelle. I got mad at you last night because my microphone wasn't working and you said, oh, no, it sounded great.
I did not say it sounded great. I said it sounded like you were in a barrel and you said, well, I can hold it here. I said, well, that sounds better.
Well, you are too nice. You're nice to everybody, even Athena.
There's worse things to be called, Mike.
The nice?
Yes.
So Allison leaves in a huff and refuses dinner and all that, and Mama goes back inside to see Grandma. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a threat. Well, if you're not going to hang with me, I'm going back in. It's a strategy, a tactic.
Well, yeah, because Allison knows that it upsets her. It upsets her grandmother. Her mother does. I mean, she didn't even act like she liked her, even when she knew who she was. So, of course it is. And she threw in her little dig there, too. She said, I want to be with my mother, as she walked in. So, but, I mean, Allison wasn't showing her a whole lot of love. But, I mean, why would she at the same time? Right. So, I don't know.
So, Ellie storms out of there and goes into work. And Jane's covering for her. And Oscar rolls in all hungover. And it looks like I was wrong about Oscar. We'll get to why in the... a little bit later, but I'm ready to admit I was maybe wrong about Oscar. But he wants to borrow Allie's phone for a delivery from her brother-in-law. He doesn't really explain too explicitly why he doesn't just use the phone in the business, except for maybe that he doesn't want it to be traced back or something.
Yeah, I think he didn't have the number. You know how you don't know people's numbers? You just have them keyed into your phone?
Yeah, but you don't need to borrow the other person's phone. You just say, hey, what's Charlie's number?
No, but his phone was dead.
So, yeah, I mean, he's at a business. He has a telephone there.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I wouldn't think twice about it. But why did she make an issue out of that? Can we talk about that for a minute? Because I don't understand why she would do that.
Well, she doesn't give him the phone. She calls the number for him. Maybe. Yeah, she calls something.
She texts him. But how freaking suspicious is that?
I don't know. It's a hint at something, but it's mysterious.
If somebody asked you for your phone, would you think twice about handing them your phone? Or would you? I've handed strangers my phone to place phone calls.
Did we just say something about you being too nice?
It's weird to me.
Well, let's look at the reason why. Like, why wouldn't Oscar know the phone number? If it's a connection.
Because people don't know anybody's phone numbers anymore. Nobody, like I said, you don't say,
give me your phone. I need to get a hold of Charlie. You say, hey, what's Charlie's phone number? Because I'll call him.
Well, you do have a point with that. I'll have to concede that point. That would be what I would say if I had access to another line. Absolutely. But she just behaves so suspiciously.
Yeah, and she doesn't want to give him the phone. She calls.
Why?
I don't know. She calls because of her text with Noah. I don't know. Maybe she didn't really call him.
She texted him and she showed him. Remember, she turned the phone around and said, "This is what I said to him."
Yeah, but we didn't. Did you see? I mean, she could have. Anyone could do that. Just say, "Hey, here, I texted him."
Well, he came in. I mean, she texted him.
I guess, but it's not. It's not clear. It's the. You know, they did that for a reason.
Yeah, that was weird to me, and I thought that was like, I mean, if she couldn't have put a bigger flag, red flag up than she did by doing that. I thought that was just so suspicious.
Yeah, I don't even know that Oscar's phone was dead. He's up to something. He's more than the lunkhead I thought he was.
Well, yeah, because then he asked her if she's still watching Phoebe Cutler's house. And she says, yeah, why? And he says, no reason.
Well, she gives that away, too. She's stupid about telling everybody where she is if she wants this private little, sex palace with Noah.
Well, right. But see, this, I've said the whole time so far, I've said, I believe over, if I had to pick one story or the other, I would pick Allison's story. See, it rings more truthful to me than Noah's and his back and forth and whatever. I don't know anymore because in Noah's story that we'll get to a little bit later on, remember this part right here. Remember the part about him asking her if she's still watching Phoebe Cutler's house. And she says, yeah, why? And he says, no reason. Remember that because I'm going to bring that up later on. It's important.
Yeah, do you know why, or are you just saying you think it will be?
No, I know it's important.
All right. So I'm watching this as we're talking about it, and she holds up her phone like, hey, I texted him, and it's across the room. It's across, like, 7 or 8 feet, so he can't read the phone. She could have done nothing and held up the phone.
But she did text him because he comes in a little bit. He shows up. So she did text him. She doesn't care to text him. She just doesn't want to give up her phone. And I just don't get that.
So we look at the clock, and it's 3:45. Scotty shows up, I guess, pretty close to that time or near that time. And it's Scotty with something. We don't know what. And then he leaves right away.
Right.
So Oscar... lets Jane off early, which gives Allie a headache. She doesn't like that. I guess because she wants to leave and go back to Noah.
Yep.
Whatever. But why, she came in late. Why would she get off early? It seems like she's not being very reasonable.
No. No, I agree.
So then we hear the detective and Allison. Mm-hmm. Oscar had a relationship with the victim, and Allison says yes. And Detective says, Scotty stopped by because, mm-hmm. and she says, I don't know. I was worried at the time. I wasn't worried at the time, but I guess I should have been.
Right.
So we don't know that Scotty was the victim yet. I guess this is a hint and a pretty strong one.
Oh, he kind of identifies him as the victim. He uses the word victim because he discusses how Scotty, the victim, and Oscar knew one another.
Yeah, but he wasn't the victim of getting his foot run over. He was like a dead victim. He was the death.
Right.
We didn't know that.
No.
Victim can mean almost anything. He could have got pickpocketed or something.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we don't assume that he has her in there for a pickpocket.
I don't know. So Ellie and McNulty are talking again, and they talk about where would you live if you want to live, if you could live anywhere in the world. And Noah McNulty suggests Sonoma, Michelle. That's exactly right where I am.
Yeah, he did suggest that. Bodega Bay?
God's country. Bodega Bay is about 5 miles from me here, 6 miles.
Well,
wine on the beach, campfires, wood stoves. It's not quite that quaint. You know, it's like, it's cool, though. It's a cool place.
In a cabin with a fireplace and no electricity and no internet. And maybe
it's a little bit more quaint. They're making it sound a little bit more rustic than it really is.
Well, maybe he wants to sit and eat peanut butter out of a jar with his fingers like they're doing there in Sonoma. But he tells her he'll take her there one day, and she tells him not to say things that aren't true, and then he says he means it.
Yeah, that's a little, I don't know, it's not that far, it's not that hard to come to Sonoma, Sonoma County. It's not that, you know, remote and isolated of a place. Almost anyone could come here.
I suppose, but you have to think about Allison. You know, Allison, we don't picture her leaving a lot or traveling a lot. She's kind of caught up in where she is. So that's a big deal to her. I can see that it's a big deal to her, what he's saying.
So he tells her that he likes teaching. It's pure, and he can offer up things he knows and give people things that he knows by teaching. And she admires that answer and kisses him.
Well, yeah, because he says he knows something they don't. And don't you think, and he also goes on to say he can teach them, if he can teach them, he can help them, or something like that. And I think that's interesting, considering how much we've discussed how he views himself as saving people.
Yeah.
Because this is her story. And he's saying this kind of stuff. So in his story, he's always been about saving people. And then he kind of goes into that. If he can teach them, he can help them. And how he knows things other people don't. So you kind of have to believe that she heard that from him if she's telling this story.
So I guess they're back at Phoebe's. He asks about protection. And she says it's a little late to ask about that.
But yeah, really.
It's not late, because didn't we establish in the last podcast that they were not having sex intercourse-wise? They were just kind of flirting around and, right? That was in 4, right?
No, in 4, they had went to Block Island, and they had definitely had sex. And then, remember, he had come over that morning.
For the first time, though.
The first time on Block Island.
Yeah, but that was the last episode.
Right, but then again that night when he took her home, remember, because he drove her back and got her bike out and took her in, right, because he was in her house that night, and then again this morning.
Well, I guess it only has to be one time for somebody to be able to say it's a little late to ask.
Well, right.
So, but Athena shows up at the Phoebe's place, and she's corralled McNulty out in the driveway. He just lies to her and says he's a friend of Phoebe's, and I guess he's on the way out, right? He didn't leave because she came. She caught him on the way out.
Right. Just coincidentally.
And Athena is a tricky little character here, because she tunes right into the fact that he calls his dead mother mom still, and like she knows some stuff that is kind of freakish.
Oh, everybody would. Who doesn't call their mom mom? Everybody calls. Well, she's just poking at Allison here because Allison calls her Athena, and she's just poking at that because she wants Allison. She'd point out in the nursing home. She wanted her to call her mom, and Allison's not. She's calling her Athena, so she's just poking at her. She's like, "You call your mom mom? I bet."
But yeah, you do call your mom mom always if you care about her. But Allison calls her mom Athena, even though that's not even her name. That's funny. So Noah leaves, and Athena knows about the affair. Now, how did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that happened. She...
Props to the spirit world there.
She knew. She said that she deals in energy, and she... can feel lust energy. She's very familiar with lust energy or something, and she knows they just got done having sex.
Yeah.
And she totally approves of the situation. She said she deserves some joy. She's just been through too much pain or whatever. And then she goes into that, even though Allison doesn't believe her, that energetically, if that's even like a, is that even like a verb? Energetically, she's with her all the time. And that she's had her heart shut down since she lost her son, but now it's open, and I approve, I approve, I approve. So,
yeah, and there's musical clues during this episode that tell us as viewers that what she's sensing is important. It's meaningful. It's not it's not just like hippie dipshittery. She's really like is tuned into something meaningful. But anyway, so back at Cole's, they show Cherry Winningham is making dinner for everyone. And it looks like Athena's blustered her way into this now. She's invited herself into this proceeding.
Right. And Allison's apologizing. She's apologizing to Cherry for, you know, for springing. I mean, it's just like Allison's caught in the middle of everything.
Yeah. With that. And here's where Athena is working her voodoo magic on Mary Kate. Telling her she can do this stuff remotely, too. That was pretty cool. Like, she can do this hoodoo stuff, like, remotely.
Yeah, I don't think she's calling it voodoo. To her, it's not voodoo. It's, you know.
No, I think I heard the word voodoo.
What was she doing? What's she doing with her?
She's pulling some sort of sexual energy out of her tummy.
Okay.
And she was getting her to, it was getting something out of her. I mean, it was getting a reaction out of her.
Yeah, and she wasn't even touching her.
So the boys, the Cole brother boys, are cleaning out some boxes. And was this from the room that Cherry wanted to make room for Allie and Cole? Or was this the leaky roof got some shit wet?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't really know. It was from upstairs somewhere. And the roof was leaking, she said. So the boys are like, why haven't you gotten the roof fixed? And she's like, well, I got the estimate, and it was $50,000. Is that crazy for a roof fix estimate? Or am I just like
not
living
on a
in
big
some
ranch,
kind
of... Not on a big okay. house like that.
Okay. $50,000. Geez, that just that kid. I mean, I was like, it's what? That's a lot of money.
So but any... At the dinner, everyone seems happy but Allison. She's like the only unhappy one there. And they talk about the ranch and getting an offer from a realtor for $30 million for the ranch.
Yeah, and haven't we just talked about... Okay, that's conflicting to me, to everything. I understand that you can have something worth that kind of money and still be cash poor.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, I guess I just kind of answered my own question.
You could own lots of land that you can't do much with. You could probably take out a second mortgage on it, but Cole's very staunchly saying we're not selling this to anyone, not after seven generations.
Yeah, the brothers are all fighting over it and stuff.
Well, Scotty mostly wants the money, and he kind of resents Cole acting like the father. You're not our father. And then so Cherry takes Allison upstairs to see the wedding ring, and her old wedding ring, and gives it to her. And she thanks Allison for taking care of Cole and saying, she tells her, Cole needs you. I don't know. This is kind of a hint that maybe they aren't really married, and she was trying to push him into, like, take my ring, become Mrs. Cole.
Yeah, but she's already said she was married. She did say she was married. I'll go back and find it.
Maybe she gets married at a later point than this.
No, because when she was sitting on the beach with Noah, she told him she was married to the Lockhart, you know, guy or whatever.
Yeah, but how do you know it didn't happen later than this?
Because she was sitting on the beach with Noah when she had first met him.
I heard you say that. How do you know that didn't happen later than this? How do you know that that time wasn't later than this?
Well, because they hadn't had sex yet. It was before they had had sex that night that they were talking about it.
All right. So why would Allison get married to Cole and then Cherry now just be giving the ring to her like years later?
Well, I mean, maybe her husband was alive when Allison and Cole got married.
Yeah, where is Mr. Cherry?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where he is. And but you know, I mean, of course, if you know, if Cherry were still with her husband, then she would still have her ring. So maybe it could be that, or it could just be. I mean, women are not real quick, I don't think, to give away something like a treasured wedding band from your deceased husband to a woman that your son's marrying. If you're not sure it's going to last, maybe, or whatever. I mean, you want to keep that kind of stuff in the family, and maybe now she's making a point with it. I don't know.
This is 2 years after their four-year-old was dead, so it's 6 years after, at least, their relationship with Cole.
Yeah, and it's really longer than that, because didn't she point out that they'd known each other since school?
Right, so, but, well, they've been married for 6 years, I mean.
Or longer. Well, I mean, you know, and then longer, because the baby would have been six.
So I go back to my question, why now does she give the ring up?
See, I felt like you were talking about Athena had this insight to some stuff that was going on. I feel like Cherry might have had some insight, and maybe knew that they were struggling in some way. Either that, or what if Noah told her about that morning?
You mean Cole told her?
Yeah. Cole told her. Sorry.
I don't think Noah would tell her.
No, I don't think Noah would either. I don't really think Cole would. But what if he did about, you know, her getting up and getting dressed up and going away?
Yeah, I don't know. Could be. Cole sees the ring and seems not to like it. Doesn't approve that she's.
Oh, I thought he loved it.
Oh, okay.
Well,
Athena perks up that she should give Allison all of her wedding rings. We don't have any idea. Probably more than fingers she has, though, huh?
I literally was. I watched this twice, and both times I literally laughed out loud at what she was saying. I thought that was the best line in this series so far.
Athena doesn't seem to like the whole culture of marriage, though.
No, she doesn't.
She's like a free spirit. And
I think she just doesn't like them either.
So Cole starts to rip Athena. When things get bad, we came here, my mama's house, not your house, Athena. Mm-hmm. And then Allie gets Athena out of there wisely, I think.
Oh, I agree.
So while they're driving around, Athena asks where she's staying and gets her in the car, and they drive around. And she says, one day you'll regret, Athena says, you'll regret choosing him over me. That was a weird thing to say to a daughter about a man she's with.
Well, it really was. And particularly since she goes on, I didn't really understand that, because then she goes on to talk about that she left when Allison was just a child, because, you know, she was saying, I invited you to go with me. And she says, I was a child. I wanted the stability of my family. You know, she chose to stay with her grandparents instead. Her mom didn't leave at the time she was, you know, decided to marry Cole. None of that happened. So I just thought that whole thing was kind of an odd thing to say. But I really do think that the mom may be onto the Lockharts. I don't know.
It was an odd thing to do. It was an odd thing for Athena to do, to leave her family when Allison was a little girl. But it wasn't unclear. She's like, I wanted to go see the world, and you didn't want to come with me, you little six-year-old. Like, it was stupid plan. And Allison's decision was probably wise to stay. Oh, I'm in school. I got friends. I got to, you know, grow up. So I think Athena's just a nut. But Athena says, maybe with the realization that there is no security, you're starting to become someone else, like that we're all free spirits. We have, you know, marriages come and go, and we're all kind of insecure. And that's changing you.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like she's got this weird flakiness and wisdom, like, wrestling with each other, Athena.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I really, you know, there's a lot about her that I really liked, but you always crave security, and maybe now you realize there's no such thing. I heard what I thought she was talking about was with losing her child, that you can't control circumstances. I didn't really take that at all about the affair. I took it as about you can't control circumstances, so maybe now you're starting to become someone else.
Well, all circumstances, all security.
Maybe.
Security is a farce. Your marriage isn't secure. Your child living forever. where you live. It's all transient. You know, it's all able to change. So, what did you get at this, Michelle? Where the Allison and the detective are done? We're done, Miss Bailey. Like you're free to go, ma'am. It's all cleared up now.
It seemed
ominous that he had that kind of finality with that statement.
Yeah, I don't know. Too good to be true.
It's too good to be true. So, and then he says, "Well, he does drop in like a who is the guy that?" Said, oh, one last thing. Like, asked a question.
Columbo or somebody?
Yeah, Columbo. Yeah. Oh, yeah. One other thing.
Rod did this
with both her and him.
Yes.
But the night of the wedding, did you talk to Scotty and notice anything wrong? And she just says, no, we drove back to the city. Allie drove back to the city.
Yeah, she said they left first. Because he asked, did you see him leave? So all this stuff's important. It has to be. It has to be clues to it. But I don't know.
So then she leaves, and that's the end of her part one.
That's the end of it.
So part two is Noah, and Noah wakes up with Helen and slinks out. Noah's not painted very, very royally here in this version, but he wakes up. He's trying to slink out. He checks in on Whitney, but she's gone. So he goes back and wakes Helen up. Helen says she slept at Ruby's. And Noah says, I'm anti-Ruby, and you should have known that, or you would have known where she is if you listened better or something.
Right.
So then Helen wants Noah's on his way over to Allison, so he's like, I'm out of here, I'm going to take a run, and he gets kind of tripped up a little bit. She wants bagels, and Trevor wants to come along, I can run too. Noah shuts him down, he gets pretty rejected by Noah.
Yeah, that scene was kind of broke my heart a lot. That was a really bad scene right there. I mean, his son wants to go with him to get bagels and to run, yeah. But his son wants to spend the time with him, and he doesn't just get shut down. I mean, he does, but he gets shut down kind of harshly. Kind of hurt my heart.
He's trying to get laid, Michelle. Jesus.
Well, sorry.
So, but there are no bagels in the picture, at least not yet. I don't know if he ever gets the bagels, but he goes over to see Allison and she tries to cover she tries to help him with his cover story.
Yeah, but first, before that, Allison's not in the dress. Remember the dress that she put on?
Different version.
Cole liked? I know, but how different can it be? She's like in jeans and a tank top. And he comes in and he's like, I mean, he just wants to hurry. He wants to be able to have
slam
sex.
A shot.
And like, that's what he says, yeah.
That's what
and
she leave. Says.
Oh, is that what she says?
You don't have to slam a shot.
But she doesn't like it. He's in this hurry and she's like, just calm down. And he really is manic. He's manic about it.
Yeah, and this is his version of it too. So, he's with her, and so all these major crisis texts come in on his phone, and Whitney, it's all about Whitney.
Right. There's something that's happened with Whitney, and he needs to come home now.
Which seemed kind of dumb, right? Like, that is not an emergency text situation.
What do you mean?
That Whitney's involved in a hazing of a girl and she tried to kill herself and get home right now.
So you would think if anything she would call, but I mean we've seen this time and again with Noah. You know, she called when he was on Block Island and she was like, something's going on with my mom, I need you home now. And he's even pointed out, you know, there's so many crises that there's never a crisis.
Yeah, if Whitney got run over and her leg was broken or, you know, some accident, then that's something that is urgent.
Well, although, this was pretty harsh.
Well, it's not good, but it's not like get home immediately, SOS, 411, come, you know, 911, whatever.
And do you text somebody that thing? Or do you not just give them a call?
You don't need to text them 50 times, though, or, you know, 5 times in a row. It's like, hey, we got a problem. We got to deal with this. Come home as soon as possible.
Right.
I don't know. It just seemed a little overly urgent for that situation. But so Noah racing through the prairie gets a flat tire with no spare, and up comes his buddy Oscar.
Yeah.
Oscar offers to help him so he doesn't look like a douche. And they talk, and Oscar admits or reveals that the butlers were his parents, and his parents were friends. They helped him start his restaurant.
Right.
And then he claims Helen was his older friend back in childhood and probably wouldn't remember him because he's a little younger than her.
Okay, but remember earlier when I said I want you to remember this because I'm going to bring it up later on? This right here is why Oscar asked Helen, asked Allison if she was still watching her friend's house. Because he's out there, which is way out of the way, and he's close to Phoebe's house, and Oscar's putting this together, and that's why he asked Helen that.
So he knows that Noah's with Helen.
Yes.
Or with Allison.
With Allison, yes. I think that's really important. So see, this is true. Noah's telling the truth about having had the flat tire.
But Oscar already knows he's with Allison. He's like, there's your lady. Remember?
No, he's suspicious.
Well, he knows though.
He's suspicious, but now he. I mean,
so what does it mean? So what does it mean that Oscar knows that he's with Allison?
It means that Noah is telling the truth. See, none of this happened in Allison's story. Noah didn't leave quickly. She was the one that got the phone call and had to go to her grandmother's and that whole big thing, you know, that came up with that. This didn't happen. I mean, that didn't happen in that circumstance, but this did happen. Noah's the one that got the phone call that he had to leave because Oscar confirmed that by asking her later in the day if she was still watching Phoebe's house. And then kind of said, no reason. She said, yeah, why? And he said, no reason. Because he knew that Noah was out there. So Noah's story is right. He's the one that got the phone call. She was there. I mean, we're going to have to assume he's telling the truth. She was there in jeans and a tank top, not in that dress that she was portraying.
All right, so Allison's the murderer. Thank you for listening to The Affair on West Coast Project. Just saved us 5 episodes.
Maybe, but do you see what I'm saying or you don't?
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to wrap my head around it all. Like,
Noah is telling the truth because Noah had the flat tire. Noah got the call. Noah had to leave. That has to be the truth because Oscar confirmed it even in Allison's story.
Well, so Allison didn't go to her grandma and her mom and all that?
Well, I mean, how much of it's true or not, I don't know. But because we don't know that for sure, but we do know that Noah is telling the truth about this. And if he's telling the truth about this, then we're going to assume that he's telling the truth about what she had on. And if we're assuming he's telling the truth about her jeans and her tank top, then she didn't have the dress on. And none of that happened with Cole. Or am I just reading too much into it?
You could go into... are we going to backtrack when it gets to episode 8 and 9 when we start to see things get revealed? Are we going to backtrack? Like, okay, you're right. Back in episode 3, he said this and this. I don't know.
We almost have to.
It seems a little too convoluted to follow. Like, a lot of these things seem like false clues. Like, it doesn't matter. So what if she went to the hospital to see her or the nursing home to see her grandmother?
Well, it's important. But that's not even as important as what she had on, that she had on that dress, and Cole's reaction to it. And we have to assume that Noah is telling the truth because the things she's telling in her story go along with what Noah's telling. And there'd be no other way for that to happen that way.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess.
That's just my take on it.
So the whole crap with the mother-in-law didn't happen, with the grandmother and the mother didn't happen?
Well, it didn't happen. It probably happened, but it didn't happen the way she said it happened because in her story, she was called away. And in his story, he was called away, and he was called away so urgently over his daughter that he was driving fast and hit the pothole. So we have to believe that he was driving fast and hit the pothole, because Oscar actually saw him, and Oscar brought it up to her, even in her story.
So how did she get over to the nursing home to see her grandmother?
See, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's too much weight for a viewer to carry to reconcile later on. Like, it's interesting.
Yeah, but I think they put there for a reason. They put Oscar asking Allison about, is she still watching Phoebe's house? And Allison saying yes. Why? And him saying no reason. For a reason, they put that little blurb in there. And I think the blurb in there was because he had just found him out here on, what was it called, the place?
Ditch, we'll come up witch, to it. Or witch plains, ditch plains, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. He had found him out there that morning, and it's evidently a long way. And he even pointed out it's a long way from the Butlers.
Yeah, remember in episode one I told you about witch plains or ditch plains? She said she lives right over the dune in one, and then she said I live in Ditch Plains in two, in another version.
Oh.
See, I'm not going to remember all that. I'm not going to, like, who said that now? Which said what?
Right.
I think he remembers her saying, I live right over that dune. And she remembers saying, I live in Ditch Plains. Or no, she said that. I live right over the dune. And he remembers, I live in Ditch Plains.
Yeah, but she doesn't. I mean, he knows where she lives. He walked her home.
Well, she called it, in that episode, she called it Ditch Plains, which apparently, according to this episode, is way far away.
Yeah, I mean, he's flying in his car. That was the whole point.
All right, I'm losing interest in this because I can't grasp it. So
okay.
I don't know what it sounds like to people trying to listen, but I think it's a little too much, unless I'm just not getting it, it's a little too much to grasp. I can't just shut down the whole thing that, like, okay, since he's telling the truth, there was no visit to the nursing home, and they didn't leave to go there, and the mother-in-law or the mother didn't come, and, you know, she went and met people, too. She went and met, you know, the family.
Right.
So
I don't know that it didn't happen. The only thing that I'm thinking of is that her leaving, in her version, she was called away, and in his version, he was called away. And the fact that Oscar kind of makes his being called away seem like the truth. And this whole time, I've kind of been believing her. And now, I absolutely believe Noah's version that he was called away from that encounter. That's all.
So Noah's car gets fixed by the AAA guy, and he leaves his number and says, in case you're ever in trouble out here again. Like, that was pretty, that was like a head scratcher.
Yeah, like it's a long way out, you know, again, and just give me a call.
Well, there's another guy too that could place him out there. Like, I gave you my, you know, there's a record of that. It's a AAA event, and it's, he had to call it in. And but in case you're ever in trouble out here again, AAA guy wouldn't say that to you. He'd say, hey, here's my card if you ever need a jump or a tow. Or they wouldn't say if you're in trouble out here. Sounds ominous.
Do you have AAA, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Oscar seems nervous to let Noah leave, like he's ready to go, and he's like, doesn't want him to go.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Well, I don't know. You got the answers, Michelle. I don't know. It's like,
no, I don't have all the answers.
He's with him out there, and he doesn't want him to leave. He invites him to go fishing later. And then he does something in the car. He, like, throws something behind his back, or he picks something up from the car. I don't know if you caught that.
I didn't.
Noah,
who does?
Well, Noah says, no, I got to leave. It sounds like fun. Let's have a beer later. And while he's reaching over to put his seatbelt on, Oscar flips something into the car, like a card or like something. I don't know what it is.
Oh, wow. I did not catch that.
He tosses something surreptitiously behind Noah's back into the back seat, into the seat behind him, or, you know, puts something into the car.
Wow. I didn't notice.
I'll bring this up later because I can't remember it right now, but later on something happens and it makes me think that maybe Oscar picked something up out of the car. Well, let's plow ahead here. We tried to run some theories there for 10 minutes. That seemed
what's important.
All right. So at home, Noah finds that Whitney's been bullying a girl named Jody and that she was trying to kill herself, and via fake Twitter account, the skank ho, calling her skank ho. Whitney tosses the phone into the pool so they can't see it. So second, like, evidence of people not wanting other people to see their phone. Noah demands a letter of apology, take it to the house, Facebook apology, all the social, you know, you're gonna make it right publicly and to everybody. But Big Bruce butts in, and he's got the mad lawyer skills. You know, no talking. We talked to Gottlieb. Gottlieb's gonna be their lawyer.
Yeah, he lawyers up on this situation.
Apparently, they're always worried about lawsuits because they're big shots. So
because they got money, yeah.
They're trampling all over the parenting line, though. They're probably right about the legal stuff that they're saying, but the parenting from the grandparents' view is not very appealing.
No, and they bring up the money thing again, too. Maybe I should just stop writing the checks for these private schools. I mean, we've heard that more than once so far, so.
So
talk
this,
about holding some other head.
This devolves into a family shout fest, and Helen tells Noah to calm down, and he rails against her and her privilege, and Noah even starts to diss Whitney. I don't know. Noah looks bad in his recollection version here.
But always, almost.
Helen says Whitney needs therapy, and Helen sounds way more reasonable here than Noah.
Well, yeah, and she even points out, she says, I'm not going to let you throw her life away so you can prove a point to my dad.
Right.
To Noah. It's like, he's so mad, it feels almost vindictive to her father. And, I mean, he's going to make his own parenting choices, and I'm sure many of us would do things differently in that situation, but you can't base it on... He can't just spite Bruce in that situation at the expense of his daughter. And I think that's what it at least feels like to Helen.
Yeah, but she's misinterpreting it, because it's a little bit of that. He doesn't like the grandparents' parenting, but he doesn't want to leave. He doesn't want his fling to be cut short.
Well, right. Then she says, we'll go back to Brooklyn tomorrow, and he freaks out.
Yeah, so she's going to pull the plug.
Oh, and he says... Helen, I just want to do what's right for the family. And I just want to punch him in the face when he says that.
Miranda calls him Mr. Noah, and he freaks out at her. And all these tribulations are, all these problems with the family are less disturbing to him than the thought of just getting the plug pulled on the affair.
Yep.
But the visitor is Oscar, bringing the AAA card. So I thought, here's where I forgot. So maybe he reached in the car and grabbed the AAA card, so he had a reason to come back. He does something to the car, either throws something in the car or picks something up from the car behind Noah's back. Maybe he grabbed the AAA card so he has this excuse to go over there.
Yeah, maybe so.
So Oscar reveals to everyone that Noah is at Ditch Plains, which was way out of the excuse zone. He should have been getting bagels or running.
Right.
And Oscar has a motive here. You've tuned into something that I totally missed, but do you know what his motive is to place Oscar to get Noah in trouble?
No. No, I don't know why he would want to get Noah in trouble.
Because he clearly does. He shows up. He's blathering about where he is, and
he knows what's went on too. We have to assume. I mean, he at least has a strong suspicion.
What has gone on?
That Noah was out there with Allison.
Yeah, but what motivation does Oscar have to reveal that to Helen?
I don't have any idea. Unless, I mean, I'm going to pull one of your statements and say, you know, all roads lead back to money, or, you know, Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank. But I don't know.
How does that relate to money?
Well, because he had already pointed out that the family had supported him before. I don't know. I don't know. Blackmail? I don't know. What's your thought on it?
I have no idea. That's why I'm asking. Noah tries to pull him out, literally pull him out of the room, like, all right, you're out of here. And
well, he asked him to leave. He said they got something going on. But, of course, that's not the real reason. The real reason is that he didn't want his wife to hear where he was and where he ran into Oscar.
Yeah. But then Oscar blows his... If he's trying to get Noah into trouble and he's like, hey, I'm just trying to be here to help, man. I saw you ditch planes. And he blows his cover by saying you're a douche just like the rest of them, like all that Cole family. Right? He's like, if he was strategically trying to get Noah in trouble, kind of blew his top, too, and revealed that he's, you know, he thinks they're all douches.
Well, he was definitely trying to get him in trouble. But why?
All right, we're only to episode 5, so maybe we're worrying about answers that we'll get soon.
Okay.
First of all, Michelle, how can this show? I thought about this. How can this show have a second season? These two cannot be slouching around Montauk for another year and like a whole nother 10 episodes.
Slouching around?
Yeah, whatever. Flirting around, you know, affairing around.
I don't know. I don't know.
10 episodes seems perfect, but 20 episodes of this?
30. There's supposed to be 3.
How do they do that?
I don't know. I don't know. Where are they going to leave us at the end of 10?
Noah takes Whitney over to Jody's and the skank girl to apologize about the Stanko Manko incident. And Whitney says Ruby set it all up. Ruby's her friend. I thought Ruby was the worker. She's not. She's just a friend somewhere, either came to visit or she knows her.
Yeah, she's that girl that had on the revealing outfit that was drinking the apple juice, too, at the party. That was
Ruby. The apple juice whiskey.
Right.
So Noah's a hypocrite because he says, your words and actions have consequences, young lady. Stop doing bad things. And then she kind of goes in to apologize, and he kind of repeats it to himself. Stop.
Well, I know, but I mean, that was a real profound kind of thing. You know, he's like, you're not the only person who's real. And I like that statement. And then she says, do you think I'm a bad person? And he sat there for a minute and he said, you did a bad thing. And one bad thing doesn't make you a bad person. And she sits there for a long time and she goes, what if I've done a lot of bad things?
Yeah.
And he says, well, that makes you an asshole.
Isn't every parent a hypocrite, though? Like, don't do this. It's bad. And you know you're a human. You've done it as a parent.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'm a hypocrite, but
maybe. I don't think it's helpable. It's like you're human, you know. You have faults. You're trying to get your kids to not have.
Yeah, but I'm pretty open to tell my kids, don't do this because you can get yourself in a situation that you're not able to handle at your age, or don't do this because, you know, it can lead to a bad situation. Not, don't do this, I've never done it, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah, but you don't have to add the I've never done it. Just saying, don't do this, it's not good. Don't smoke. Don't even try a cigarette. I don't know. Seems hypocritical, but it's inevitable.
Yeah, but he's majorly hypocritical here. And she goes inside and he kind of whispers to himself, just stop. Because, you know, she's like, I don't want to be an asshole. How do I un-asshole myself?
And yeah, but says, that just stop when he's by himself is to himself. He's realizing that he is doing wrong. But back at the estate, Noah's talking to Helen, and she's located a Montauk therapist, so they don't have to leave, I guess. But they need to do more family stuff. Teenagers need as much supervision as toddlers. And I could sell the store. So is this the first we've heard of the store? We saw her shopping for bowls and inventory and stuff. But did we ever affirmatively get the answer that that's her business?
Yeah, she said something when that was going on, buying something for the store. So, and she was going to have a Skype meeting with the other girl at the store. And that's why she couldn't watch the kids that day. So we've heard it before, but not to this extent. And she's trying on some deodorant, some natural deodorant that's not working for her, remember, and she has to change her shirt. She's like, I'm trying this natural deodorant for the store. So we keep hearing about this store.
Yeah, I know we hear about it now, but I've never heard about it before this scene. I don't remember it. So they go into the taking money from the family, we can do this, and then he's like, no, I don't want to. And she hits him with, you're never going to be successful writing one book a decade. And that devolves into the fuck you. So
that was a big thing to say, don't you think?
No, I think it was just they're mad at each other.
She wasn't mad. I'm not talking about the FUs. I'm talking about, you know, when she says you're never going to be successful if you only write one book a decade. Yeah. He views himself as successful already, and she's saying she doesn't.
Yeah, it's big. So
you just don't want to argue.
No, it's true. It is big.
Okay.
So the detective now lets Noah go. You're free to go, sir. Thank you for your information. And Noah totally blows it, man. If Noah is guilty or was guilty, he acts guilty. I mean, if he's innocent, he acts guilty. Like if a cop says, okay, you're free to go, you don't say, well, oh, really? Do you have anyone in mind who might have done it? Like he feels guilty for leaving. I guess maybe that proves even that he's innocent, though, because he's such a bad criminal. I don't know, but wouldn't a guilty person be super disoriented with their unexpected freedom like that? And that's kind of what Noah looked like.
Yeah, he was kind of surprised that the questioning was over. That's what I got from it. And but then the detective calls him back again. Oh, one last question. Do you know a place called The End?
Right.
And then he says he believes Scotty was headed there when he died. So then we know for sure that Scotty has died. Scotty's the victim. And that's all. But yeah, it was kind of weird how he was like, oh, I can go? Really? Okay.
Yeah. Like, wait, what? I'm free?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's so stupid that he is innocent. Like, a criminal would never be that stupid. But Noah ends back up at Allison's, and he's had a really bad day, but not bad enough to skip sex.
No.
And nope. He says, do you want to run away with me? And she says, yes. And that's the end. So I had put some questions here. We talked about a few of them, like, what was Oscar doing? Why was he tracking Noah? Why did he tell Noah's location to Helen? What did Scotty bring to Oscar? And then my last one is like, isn't Oscar Oscar's the enemy of his enemy, right? He's the enemy of the Cole family. Doesn't that make an enemy of your enemy as your friend? But he's not his friend.
Well, he tried, I think. See, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if Oscar was trying to be his friend, and if he's just like,
think he did. I think he was posturing that, but okay. He wasn't really his friend.
I don't know. I mean, he tries to be nice to him, you know, hey, there's your girl. Of course, that's a kind of passive-aggressive thing to say, knowing that she's married, I guess.
Yeah, and if he lost his AAA card, he's crossed his path a bunch of times. He sees him later, and he says, dude, here's your AAA card, and you probably want your wife to know you're way over there in Ditch Plains screwing around. But he goes right to the wife and says, hey, good seeing you over in Ditch Plains. Like, he makes a point to get him in trouble.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you're right.
You don't need a AAA card 10 minutes after you lose it, you know. And plus, he stole it. He took it on purpose. He didn't really drop it.
That's a good thing to note. Like I said, I didn't see that, but that's interesting. But what about this whole, do you want to run away with me? Oh, my gosh. We just kind of blew past that. Do you want to run away with me? Are you kidding?
Well, the affair has to go on. It's got three seasons to
Jeez. That was like, that made me go, you know, I kind of went, do you want to run away with me? And I mean, she didn't just go, yeah. She, you know, thought, I mean, of course he asked in the middle of sex, which kind of voids any important question that you're asking at that moment. If you ask a question in the middle of sex, the answer doesn't count. You can answer anything you want with a free pass. But anyway, you know, it takes her a minute, and then she says yes, and he says yeah, and she says yeah. I mean, and it was like, and I was just like kind of going, I literally wrote down, wow. I think that's big. That's bigger than a lot of the other stuff. As far as the affair part goes, the relationship goes, I think that's a big, big thing.
All right, Michelle from Tennessee, we've steamrolled through an hour and 12 minutes of this. I don't know how I can even begin to edit that 18-minute stretch of theories of what happens with Oscar and
that was Helen. Important. That's important stuff. It's like important.
It's like throwing a ball of twine to somebody and saying, I know it's all tangled up, but it's important.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna pose the question on Reddit.
Untangle it.
Well, geez, Mike, I can't untangle it. I don't know. I mean, I know my car's broken, but it doesn't mean I know how to fix it.
Well, then
I mean,
don't toss it into the ring if you don't have a little bit of a take on it. I don't know. Well, I'm just going to probably play it because I can't figure it out. Somebody may know, so write to us. Write to us at scathingtweets, at Michelle from TN, or support at West Coast Project, or go to our Facebook page, West Coast Project. Go see Michelle on Reddit, West Coast Project _pod.
Yep.
Right? You can make any new friends over there?
I've talked to a couple people. I don't know. Is that friends? I'm still just like this little baby, excuse me, on Reddit. I've still got my like little pacifier badge over there, so I'm not sure, but I'll
Yeah, I read a lot. I don't make very many posts. My name is West Coast Project over there, so there's some theories though cranking out. There are people that are it's not
brilliant.
As huge as like Fargo, but there are a lot of people with some crazy theories.
Well, yeah, but Fargo had the cult following from the movie, so this being so new, if they do this well, there is so many places they can go with this. I really hope they do this well. Do we know anything about the directors or the writers or anything?
Yeah, they're the people that did In Treatment, that show In Treatment with Gabriel Byrne.
I don't know that one.
It was about a therapist who had all these patients come in and he kind of unraveled their problems or helped them deal with problems. Very psychological.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I forget the guy's name, but the creator is an Israeli guy, and he created In Treatment. You probably can find it on YouTube or back in somewhere in Netflix, maybe even In Treatment. It's pretty interesting.
Okay. Well, there was no song at the end of this, just some slightly ominous music, so.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to West Coast Project's take on The Affair, Episode 5. We'll be back on Wednesday with Episode 6.
Yay.
All right, Michelle. Thanks again. See you later.
We'll see ya.
Bye.
Bye.